Hey folks, it's Dana here. Make sure you go out and pick up a copy of my latest book, Grace Canceled, available at booksellers everywhere. You can also visit danaradio.com or danalash.com and make your purchase there. If you've listened to my show, you know I really take super beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
To the Democrats who say you don't say good things about Fidel Castro. He destroyed freedoms in that country. He picked winners and losers and killed them and put them in prison forever. You don't give him a pat on the back for anything.
You don't give. It's not a quote. Truth is truth.
Oh, wow.
All right. Now, if you want to disagree with me, if somebody wants to say that, and by the way, all of those Congress people that you mentioned just so happen to be supporting other candidates, just accidentally, no doubt, coincidentally. But, you know, the truth is the truth. And that's what happened in the first years of the Castro regime.
Yeah, so that's Bernie Sanders doubling down on the whole Fidel Castro. The thing that he said about him in the beginning when he was, oh, well, he came out with some literacy programs. So, you know, it's you know, they've done some good things. This debate, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. And I'm hoping that some of these candidates, if they're actually serious about reducing the threat of the socialist candidate, then maybe start attacking him on this. Elizabeth Warren, maybe start doing that. We got a lot of updates about that as well. Welcome to the show. Happy Tuesday to you. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. My brand new book, Grace Canceled, is finally out. It hit shelves today, and it is a very different book, and I am going to get into a lot of inside stuff on it, and some stuff that you've never known before. I actually had to clear some things with my attorney before I was allowed to include them in this book. That's a legitimate thing, because there were some certain things that, anyway, so I am so excited about this, and I'm in New York City broadcasting live here for the next, for several days before I head to D.C. And a big thank you to AM 970 The Answer for letting us use their studios and their facilities and just being so incredibly hospitable. I'm so grateful to you all. Thank you. The debate coming up tonight. Now, a couple of things. So do you remember, and I'm going to bring this tugboat to shore, so you know, oh, and by the way, 2:40 on Pluto TV via the first. You remember the defense that Harvey Weinstein first invoked when those rape accusations finally came to light? Do you all remember that? He immediately pivoted to gun control, and he gave this interview and he pivoted to gun control. And I've noticed that this is the thing that a lot of politicians and cultural figures seem to do, apparently, whenever they're caught in controversy. And this was the thing that he tried to go after law-abiding gun owners, and he said he wanted to take on the gun lobby and all of this stuff. And then you see what happens. The reason I bring this up is because both Bloomberg and Biden have done this exact same line of defense, or this mode of attack. They started it yesterday. So I want to start with Bloomberg, because he's unveiled this huge advertising bomb against Bernie Sanders. And it was, I'm trying to remember how much, just a ton of money, six figures to start. But the ads are only playing online, which makes me kind of wonder, he's not actually getting in. He's spending a lot of money, which means that depending on where you are, if you are in a Super Tuesday state, what's likely to happen is that your Webernets are going to be saturated with Bloomer stuff. So whenever you are, and there's actually a meme about it, every single time somebody gets on the internet, some Bloomberg ad pops up. But he's not doing television ad buys with these. Now think about this. He did TV ad buys on Trump, and he's not doing, he says he's in the race because he's so concerned about Sanders, but yet he's not actually in, he's not doing the same ad buy because he's leaving himself some walk back room. If Sanders is the nominee, make no mistake, every single one of these candidates, they're going to back him. And they're already, the media is already trying to find ways to rehabilitate Sanders in the minds of potential voters, because you've had all these Democrats running around. Most of them are socialists themselves, but they realize how dangerous and loaded that term is. So they are trying to walk it. The media is not going. They're trying to walk it back. They're trying to find ways to do this. And I think that this is why Bloomberg is not doing TV ad buys. First off, he could swing it. It's super expensive, but apparently, what is it, like a several million dollars to him is like $75 to somebody else, I think was the statistic, because he has so much money that has never been able to buy him personality. But he is, and apparently it started last night, and it hits Bernie Sanders on guns. Now, it says the whole thing with Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren has brought this up too, I was 10 years old. The last time that Bernie Sanders was in any way even remotely supportive of Second Amendment rights. I was 10 years old. It was 1990. I was 10 years old. So this idea, and it's been a long time since then. So this idea that this guy who has since, by the way, he's called for an quote-unquote assault weapons ban, which is just mainly, you're just simply banning semi-automatic rifles. He's called for that. He's called for the criminalization of legal private transfers. He's called for databases, blah, blah. He said the same thing that all of these other anti-gun socialists have said. The only difference between them and him is that he, back in 1990, he took money from one organization, and he was still pretty much, I mean, he was still for gun control, but there were certain things that he was supportive of, or at least not attacking. And so one of the big gun rights groups gave him a bunch of money, gave him some money. And that was in 1990. So now that's what Michael Bloomberg is hitting Bernie Sanders on. He's trying to say that, oh, you act like you're left, but you're not so left. Look at this. It's like they act like he killed somebody in his background and that they're bringing it out of the closet. Not 1990, look what you supported. So these ads started last night, but again, they're only running online. That's not going to budge poll numbers. Honestly, I think Michael Bloomberg could spend as much money as he wants to, but at this point, Sanders is unstoppable. I think he's already won. That's my opinion. Now, it's not just him. Joe Biden has done this too. Joe Biden has started to really go hard on gun stuff. And he started tweeting this stuff. This was about like last night. And he wanted to, I guess, I don't know. He's trying to sit here and attack. He mentioned Sanders, and then he mentioned I'm going to go after the gun manufacturers. And who is this reporter? This was someone who is a DC Examiner and is currently with Daily Mail. And this reporter quoted him as saying, and he was talking about firearms manufacturers, quote, I'm coming for you and I'm going to take you down. And then he said, and I'm not making this up, quote, we protect international geese more than people. Really? So I had a thought about that. International geese, first off, is a pretty amazing band name. And it's like a band name of woodwind instruments played by ornithologists, right? International geese. They play jazz fusion. So it's a jazz fusion cover band of all woodwinds, and it's comprised entirely of ornithologists, and those are the bird people. Just saying. International geese. So this has been the number one deflection for status. So you have Bloomberg doing this ad buy, and then Biden pivoting to guns. and then Bernie going hard and essentially saying, shut up, haters, I love Fidel. Because that's pretty much what's been, that's pretty much what's been said. He was also, Sanders also, and I would imagine this is going to come up later, it's going to come up in the debate, he was talking in his CNN town hall yesterday, because they've all been doing these town halls, like, constantly. And I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but he was, he had fielded a question about college debt, audio soundbite 18. He had fielded a question about college debt because he was asked this by this lady at this town hall who was saying, oh, you know what, how are you going to pay for all of this? And this was his answer.
People should not have to go $250,000 in debt to get an education. All right. And that is why I have proposed and will fight for a proposal that imposes a modest tax on Wall Street speculation.
Modest?
We bailed those guys out 12 years ago. And a modest tax on Wall Street speculation will pay for making public colleges and universities tuition-free and canceling all student debt.
Okay, how is he going to do that? This aggravates me so bad. I tweeted about this last night, and it got, when Twitter isn't like hardcore shadow banning me, sometimes things slip past. But it had like over 2,000 retweets, and there was, you know, almost like 600 replies. And I was really amazed at some of the replies to this, too, by the way. Because he's, first off, Sanders is entirely excusing himself from any at all culpability and nationalizing student loans. Remember, the Obama administration did this. They voted to nationalize student loans, and he did nothing to stop this. Nothing. And so he's proposing this like it's over $2 trillion. I forget what it was, like 2.3 something. Over $2 trillion to what? Just pay off people for what? This aggravates me. Our youngest son's in college. He got a scholarship to go to college, and then what the scholarship didn't cover, we pay for. And I do not expect anyone else to pay for my kids' college because it's not their responsibility. And don't give me the gobbledygook of, oh, well, you know, it benefits everyone. Like hell it does. It does not. It only benefits the person getting the degree. It does not benefit the world. How are you telling me that some of these people going into women's studies and racking up six-figure debt going into women's studies, how in the world is that benefiting the world? It's rhetorical because it's not. It's not benefiting the world. It's just a pretentious status symbol. Like driving a Volvo is a pretentious status symbol. It's what it is. It's branding. You don't need to go to college for everything, and you certainly don't need to rack up six figures in debt if you're not going into medicine or law or something that actually requires a specific skill set to be honed in that sort of academic setting. And I didn't expect anyone to pay my college. I got scholarships to college. And we paid for what the scholarships didn't cover. I don't expect people to pay for my decisions. We're all busy paying for our own families. We don't want to pay for everybody else's. It's always so easy. Bernie Sanders acts like he's so generous, and it is so cheap. He's cheap. He's lazy. That's why he's a statist. These are not pejoratives. These are actual facts. This is an observation. It's not generous to spend everyone else's money but your own. It's not generous to say, well, I care about this issue up until the point when it requires any of my actual time or money to solve, at which case I'm going to outsource it to this big mythical being, the government, and they can take care of it horribly with all your all's money. That's not being virtuous. That's not being caring. That's not acting like you're going to help people. That's lazy. So I really hope that this is a big topic in the debate tonight. And then, of course, after the debate, we got South Carolina, the primary, coming up. Now, we have some other things to get into. I want to, very quickly, as you know, my book, Grace Canceled, is out today. How Outrage is Destroying Lives, Ending Debate, and Endangering Democracy. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it later. But go out and buy it. It's a good book. It's scripturally based, actually. A little bit different, but it gets into everything, even from Christianity and voting for Trump. And stop using religion as a cudgel, some of you people. Crystal cons. So what we're going to do is the 10th caller right now, 844-344-DANA, call in and you will win a copy. It's a signed copy of Grace Canceled, which is out today. The 10th caller, 844-344-DANA is the number to join the program to get a copy of Grace Canceled, How Outrage is Destroying Lives, Ending Debate, and Endangering Democracy. So 10th caller, good luck. And stay on the line and make sure that you give Steve your information. Grace Canceled out today. Some limited number of signed copies are available at premiercollectibles.com/lash. And you can get it at Barnes & Noble and booksellers everywhere. Quick break. We have more in store. The Dana Show. Up more next. If you've listened to my show, you know I really take super beats every day. But sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love the song. So our winner, our 10th caller, is Russell from Connecticut, WDRC, our affiliate out in Connecticut. Congratulations. You won yourself a copy of Grace, a signed copy of Grace Canceled, How Outrage is Destroying Lives, Ending Debate, and Endangering Democracy. So congrats to Russell. Now, I'm going to get all of these out in the mail on Saturday because I'm in New York, and then I'm in D.C., and then I'm going to be making a stop in Nashville, and then I got to go back for some kids' stuff back home. And so it's going to, so bear with me, but it'll be signed, which is, there's a limited number of those out there. All right, we have headlines on the way, and we got some polling and more debate preview to hit. Let's kick it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so Iran's deputy health minister tested positive for the coronavirus. He previously looked unwell during a press conference. That's not good, nor is this. The New York Times now reports U.S. officials are warning Americans to brace for a likely coronavirus outbreak. After the newer outbreaks in parts of Europe and now the Middle East, they're renewing fears of a coming global pandemic. And the CDC says, quote, we are asking the American public to prepare for the expectation that this might be bad. To prepare for the expectation? What kind of word salad is that? Everybody freak out right now. Okay, don't, but not like that. Just get some wet ones, right? And wash yo hands. It's super easy. This is from the Sacramento Bee, which is actually kind of a coincidence. Bees in California are being jerks. 40,000 of them, a huge swarm, attacked police and firefighters, said officials. The Sacramento Bee reported on this, and I actually think it's kind of funny. I mean, not funny, but because what if, you know, they were allergic, but they had, they said this swarm, 1,000 strong, attacking. And I can't get the story to open up. We got more in store. Don't go anywhere.
Head to danaradio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
We should think carefully about the consequences of nominating Senator Sanders. I don't want, as a Democrat, I don't want to be explaining why our nominee is encouraging people to look on the bright side of the Castro regime when we're going into the election of our lives. We need to stand unequivocally against dictatorships everywhere in the world.
Yeah, well, at least, I mean, good on him for at least saying this. That's Pete Buttigieg. Oh, please, for the love of all things holy, let this come up in the debate tonight. Let it come up in the debate tonight. I'm telling you what. Dana, aren't you out with a book called Grace Canceled? I am, and the very premise of this book has been tested from its conception even to today. And it's also being tested with this ridiculousness right now. Good heavens. I get so unbelievably, ridiculously angry at people who stupidly state, well, you know, we care about people, and that's why I guess we care. Isn't that the intimation that they care more about people than you do, which is why they expect you to pay higher taxes for programs where barely a fraction of that money actually goes to the people that they claim that they're creating the programs for? Over and over again, for him to sit here and say, oh, well, you know, Fidel Castro created literacy programs, and he defends it? He defends this communist murderer again last night in his town hall? Oh, so Fidel had literacy programs. Yeah. Yeah, he did. And it's so unbelievably helpful for all those people to be able to read and write before they were shot in the head in a firing squad. It's so helpful for those people who are able to read and write while they are languishing away in arbitrary detentions for years. How nice. I guess that washes away all of the blood. I guess it washes away all of the dead bodies, everyone that was murdered, everyone that has been detained, just so that they could make the reality of their communist utopia, which means Latin for nothing, a reality. It's a joke. That is one of the biggest lies ever told in politics, is that somehow government states like socialism and communism, which socialism is a baby step towards communism. I don't care about your stupid nuance in that particular aspect of it. What you're talking about is evil. Socialism is evil. Communism is evil. It's evil to advocate for it. End of story. These people like to fashion themselves as gods on earth, and even God gives free will. They don't. So this is all, it's all insane. I really hope that this comes up. Really hope that this comes up in the debate. And it could be really kind of actually nasty for Sanders. And honestly, I hope that people actually attack him rhetorically and not constantly go after the shiny new toy on stage, Michael Bloomberg. Elizabeth Warren needs to grow some cojones, and she needs to go after Bernie Sanders. I get it. She's angling for the VP ticket, but come on. This is ridiculous. Now, here's a few other things. Have you noticed that people have been reading? I'm not going to play this on air because they read them. You know that Bernie Sanders wrote some pretty messed up stuff, right? So, it's been covered on CNN. Apparently, so his senior advisor, Tim O'Brien, he went there on Bernie Sanders and talked about the weird stuff that Sanders was writing, rape fantasies and all of these like sexual fantasies, and it involved children running around and all kinds of stuff, and it's pretty messed up. It's out there. It's publicly out there. And the book goes back quite a bit. And all of this other oppo has been coming out, and Jake Tapper apparently read some of it on CNN, because nobody wants to have a socialist, but everyone should have thought about that before they allowed this guy to climb through the ranks and exploit their get-out-the-vote apparatus by playing on the energy and ridiculousness of all of the extremists that were in their party. So I can't even play it, because dude wrote some weirdo, pervy, gross, predator-esque stuff. There's no other way to put it. It's weird. It's weird. If he thought he was writing some sort of erotic story, it sounds like a predator's journal. It's weird. And so now they're putting that out there. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all have known about this for such a long time because it was conservatives that brought it up. The last several elections that he was running in. Oh, and just now you all are like, wait a minute. Wait a second here. This fellow is leading us in delegates. I dare say, bring out the pervy predator journals. Suddenly we are offended. It is amazing how getting beaten in a primary suddenly at least forces one to recover some semblance of morality or ethics where it concerns this stuff, right? That's like Harvey Weinstein. Remember how he had to have a walker when he was just like, he looked like the Looney Tunes grandma, the lady who owned Tweety Bird. Whenever he would get on his little walker, he was like that old man from the movie Up. Whenever he'd get on his little walker and he would get up there to the courthouse, look at me, I'm Harvey Weinstein, I can barely walk, because surely I didn't rape and assault all these women. And then miraculously, being convicted of rape cures your inability to walk. Did you know that? It's magical. It's a miracle. So, there you go. You had to go for that. I wish they would have played that when they perp walked him out of the courtroom, Weinstein. Okay, so the president and first lady are in India. It's been a very successful trip, which is why you haven't heard about it in the media, because they can't pick it apart. They were trying to get mad at him because he said that that Russia was not meddling on his behalf, and then he laid into his own intelligence community again. And then audio soundbite 9, Chris Matthews was forced to apologize. In the meantime, and I think that this is, they're imploding right before our eyes. Chris Matthews, he compared Sanders' Nevada victory to a Nazi invasion of France, and the left lost their minds, and they took him to task. And so he actually, I've never seen him do this. He apologized. Listen.
As I watched the one-sided results of Saturday's Democratic caucus in Nevada, I reached for an historical analogy and used a bad one. I was wrong to refer to an event from the last days, or actually the first days of World War II. Senator Sanders, I'm sorry for comparing anything from that tragic era in which so many suffered, especially the Jewish people, to an electoral result in which you were the well-deserved winner. This is going to be a hard-fought, heated campaign of ideas. In the days and weeks and months ahead, I will strive to do a better job myself of elevating the political discussion.
Yeah. So he has apologized for that. I mean, I don't like it when anyone invokes Nazism, but I mean, the Nazis were National Socialists. That's, you know, honestly, do you realize that I've gotten hate mail from people before who didn't know that? Anyway, good heavens. But as I said, I think he's kind of already won this thing. I think Bernie Sanders has already won it. I really do. I've talked about this before. When you look at the delegate, when you look at the momentum, when you look at how he's polling, he's so close to Biden in South Carolina. And Warren is still not attacking Bernie Sanders. Is she confused? I mean, she launched another attack at Mike Bloomberg about the NDAs, right? And she's been so incredibly quiet. The only thing that she said was that he had a lot of questions to answer. The only thing that she's hit him on are the Bernie bros. And it wasn't even a hard hit. She hasn't said anything that other Democrats haven't said. She said, well, he's got a lot of questions to answer about his how his supporters responded. And then the New York Post attacked her and said, Liz Warren's low attack on Bernie Sanders. Get real. So she hasn't really, the speculation was that there was some sort of non-aggression pact that they had, which I don't know if I believe that, but she wants to be in preserve. She wants to either have the power or have access to power, and I don't think she feels that she can do this if she attacks Sanders. So, I mean, but they're going to start portraying him as a moderate. Make no mistake. I know, moderate, with air quotes. I was looking at this. Let me pull this up. I was looking at a couple of different studies. There was one economist who had been looking at some of the data, the ideological composition of journalists and some of the reporting between Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I've seen it elsewhere, too, whether it's on CNN or MSNBC. CNN looks to be a little bit more divided than, like, the MSNBCs. They all started more or less kind of falling in line and trying to reestablish him in a different mold. He's not the socialist. He's actually just a regular Democrat. Biden and Buttigieg's increased remarks towards him, his attacks on him, or his counters, they have been, out of all of the candidates, some of the most aggressive. And so I just don't, all of the candidates, they're all the same thing. They are all the same thing. They are all socialists. They're on different timetables. So the idea that not that only he's the only one out there who's like this is baloney. That's not true. They're on different timetables. Just because you want to nationalize healthcare and other sectors of our and other industries at a slower rate than someone else does not mean that you are less of a socialist. It means you're a slower one. It's about strategy, not ideology. They have different strategies, but their ideologies are the same. I tell you what. No, I cannot imagine having a socialist government, because there are enough people that I know who don't pull their weight right now, given the smallest, simplest of tasks. But there, I can't imagine granting a governing authority full power to go whole hog that way. We have more in store. We'll have another giveaway later on in the program. And we're also going to look at some of these other, these are some unsettling headlines. I don't like to do the Chicken Little kind of stuff, but I had a headline yesterday from The Guardian that was discussing concerns over production. And now I have another one. Amazon has been scrambling, apparently, to secure inventory because there are reportedly concerns that they will not have enough products, so much of which comes from China, to see them through Prime Day as the coronavirus continues to spread. Maybe it's part of our addiction to immediate satisfaction and cheap products that we get from communist countries where people have no freedom. Maybe we could pay just a little bit more for some good old-fashioned American manufacturing. I would totally pay more. Ugh. All right, so we're going to get into that and a lot. We got a lot coming because it's a busy day. It's a busy day for me. It's a busy day for you because we got a debate and we got a primary coming up.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
Hi. I'm Arielle. I'm a lesbian, and I don't think gender is a social construct. I don't think cis straight white men are evil. I don't believe that genital preferences are transphobic or that there are 97 genders. I don't think that male sex offenders belong in women's prisons. I don't think it's normal for people to be praised for walking around with shirts that say kill TERFs. I don't think like these people, and I no longer want to be associated with them.
Wow. This, she did not hold back. That's Arielle Scarella. And or Scartella, and she's on social media, and she's, you know, goes on YouTube and she's on Twitter, etc. And she, well, they tried to cancel culture her because they didn't like how she was being gay. Let me just put it like that. She wasn't gay to their liking, to the woke culture's liking, the woke scolds. And so because the woke scolds did not think that she was the proper gay person, she was not the proper lesbian, they decided to cancel culture her. I mean, this is insane. This is so insane. And she's like, no, I don't subscribe to this, and I don't agree with this, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, it's just, so they went after her. This is just, it's insane that that cancel culture is so crazy that now, if your head isn't on fire in your advocacy, then, I mean, they called her a transphobic YouTuber because she, who is a lesbian, decided and simply just made remarks, and they weren't hateful, and they weren't. This is like that third wave feminist that was in Canada that was kicked off and banned permanently from Twitter because she simply was asking a question about transgenderism. And they were real academic questions. I mean, and I wanted to know the answer. I was watching it. I was watching her ask them. She did a Twitter thread, and someone was offended that she was even, I guess, like honestly, genuinely, and very respectfully asking. So they banned her forever from Twitter. So she sued them. In Canada, I think you can, I don't know. But this, Arielle Scarcella, she said that she's not going to be ever, she doesn't want to be associated again with the progressive left. She said it's peak LGBT. And she condemned them as, quote, children who believe in cancel culture, moral superiority, point scoring, and oppression points. I don't think gender is a social construct, and I don't think cis straight white men are evil. And you heard her say what she said. She's like, I don't want to be associated with this anymore. And she said, I never fully agreed with most of the things that they said. And she said, but I didn't really feel safe in any other environment, but I didn't see how much I disagreed with it. And she said, a lot of the stuff logically just does not make sense. She was talking about the idea of self-identification, right? She said, in New York State, you can identify however you want. And she said, it's women that are the ones who are screwed over by it the most. Men don't worry about a trans guy, a woman who identifies as a man, going into a man's space. But women do worry about a dude who is identifying as a woman going into a man's space, because a man identifying as a woman going into a woman's space, I mean, that person can still be attracted to women, but just identifies as a woman. And she's right. And they went after her. They went after her. And it's sad. It's so sad that cancel culture is to the point where if you are not adequately head on fire in your advocacy, then you aren't a good enough advocate. Goodness. All right. We have a lot more in store, a lot more coming up. And I know that someone said that there was a Facebook problem. Yeah, I know. Apparently there's like stuff going on with Time Warner and an outage with them. And I don't know what's all. Again, it's like anything that could happen during book launch week has happened. It's insane. And I'm like, the premise of this book has been tested to its limit, particularly with me today. So that's where we are. We'll see if I can keep the grace up, right? We got a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. We got another book giveaway coming up, too.
It's The Dana Show.
In this day and age, it's rare to find people and businesses that stand up for their conservative values. With the backlash they receive, it's easier to stay silent than to voice an opinion. This is where cell phone company Patriot Mobile steps in to break the norm. Patriot Mobile started in 2012 with a promise to offer high-quality mobile phone service at the lowest prices possible and to continuously support American values and conservatism. It does so by donating a portion of your monthly bill to organizations fighting for First and Second Amendment rights, family values, and pro-life causes you and I believe in. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you'll be supporting this program and your values. Use promo code Dana to waive the activation fee and receive a free gift. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Don't forget to use promo code Dana to waive the activation fee and receive a free gift. Patriot Mobile, mobilizing conservatives.
White middle-class Americans, white working-class Americans promising to make America great again. Your stump speech, your critics say, sounds like nothing works in America, hasn't for generations. Is America great?
In many ways, we are. In some ways, very significant ways, we're not. We're not great when half of our people today are living paycheck to paycheck. When 500,000 people tonight are going to be sleeping out on the streets.
Good heavens. Bernie Sanders talking with Anderson Cooper. He had his town hall last night. Welcome back to the show. Second hour of the program. I'm Dana Lash, at D. Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. My book, Grace Canceled, How Outrage is Destroying Lives, Ending Debate, and Endangering Democracy is out today, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope that you will go and purchase this book. I get into everything from social justice warriorism in the church. I look at how it is a lie that one cannot be a person of faith and also you can't vote for Trump because you're a person of faith. That whole lie that was first pushed by the Crystal Cons and then now repeated by people like Pete Buttigieg. So all of that, plus the death of nuance, the death of redemption, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this here coming up at the bottom of the hour as well, because it's an important book, and honestly, people were scared of it. They were scared of this book, and I actually had a conversation with someone who said that, well, you know, it's not very shocking to discuss the issue of grace. When you're talking about grace and when you're talking about forgiveness, that's not a very shocking thing. You should probably do something more sensational. And at that point, I proved completely the entire premise of my book by losing my mind on said individual about the concept of grace, because I thought, you don't think grace is controversial? I mean, have you heard of the story of Jesus? Because, I don't know, it just seemed to me like all the disciples thought he was going to come bringing a sword of fire, and he was going to just wipe out everybody who was bad. And when he humbled him, when he went through the humbling experience that would destroy anyone else, and took on the sins of the world and paid them, so that through the mistake of one man, so would everyone be redeemed by the sacrifice of one man, and went through all of that, the disciples were scared, and they thought, oh my gosh, this is what he's doing? Because it's the hardest thing to do. It is the absolute hardest thing to do. And the reason why grace is dead in discourse, and the reason why we deny people a redemptive path, is because we're too egotistical. We are too self-interested and too invested in destroying the other person. It's not about politics or and persuasion for people. It's about destruction. They don't understand that the art of persuasion and being successful at that it's not only a great skill, but it's also the greatest victory. Because people don't care. And you know what? Even if someone disagrees with you, and this is what the left also doesn't understand, it doesn't mean that you have to go light a college campus on fire. It doesn't mean that you have to go and bust up people's storefronts. It doesn't mean you have to do any of those things. You could just continue on with your life thinking differently and realizing that coexisting with diverse thought is okay. And I also get into this, how socialism is not virtuous and is unbiblical. My son, in one of his classes one time, this is at a school in Texas, he immediately texted me and was telling me that his teacher was arguing that Jesus was a socialist, which I think is the most un-Christian thing that could be stated. It is un-Christian to have that view. I'll say it to your face, because it is. And it needs to be said. The idea that you can absolve yourself of stewardship, and that you're too good for edification of the spirit, and you can offload the poor, those in need, those who are troubled, onto the big bloated government that can't do anything expeditiously, that's somehow merciful, is evil. It is an evil idea. It's lazy, and we need to acknowledge it. It's selfish. Selfishness, I believe, really ultimately is the root of all evil. When you're only thinking about yourself, which is why everyone's told over and over again in scripture to love, 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 love. Laziness is evil. And when I hear these people act like, oh, well, it's so much better if we're able to offer all of these free services. For whom? It's not, because it's at the expense of the well-being of so many others. And for him to say, well, you know, our country was never great. My son, when he was, he had this teacher telling him that Jesus was a socialist. And he texted, and immediately, I'm not even having that. But my son can hold his own. He's so good, he can hold his own. And I didn't worry about him. But I did have a talk with that teacher. And I had emailed and I said, I want to ask you about, because it was in a Bible class of all things. And I said, I want to ask you about this. I want to ask you about what you're teaching the kids with regards to socialism and Jesus. I want you to explain to me right now how you think it's biblical to withhold free will. And you think that somehow provides for further edification than choosing to voluntarily do it out of true, genuine love fostered in the heart. Please explain that to me. And that teacher couldn't. And I kept at it. And I went to the school with it too, because this is ridiculous. Nope. Hey, I'm all for diverse thought, as long as it's an opinion or a correct fact. But when you're teaching something that is an evil political ideology as fact, I'm going to be up in you. I'm going to be up in your face. That's how it's going to be. Because out of concern, I don't like people getting led astray. There's an example of how the devil can quote scripture. And quite frankly, can we be real? There are certain things that we have right now going on in politics and in culture that people are too scared to talk about, because they're too afraid to say, you know what, the Bible says certain things here. We're going to call ourselves Christian conservatives all day. Hey, we're going to show up and be like, we love God and country. Hey, oh, but hey, there's a tough cultural issue. Let's duck and dodge. You can talk about it with grace, but you don't have to sacrifice principle. And this is something else. There are a lot of people who don't know what grace is. A lot of them don't. They think that it's sanction. They think that it's acceptance. They think that it's everything but the unmerited favor that it is. Like, for instance, the fact that I haven't ripped some people's heads off today and beat them upside the face with my book on grace is true. That should just wow you all the more. Grace is amazing. And it is unearned. And we are all living under it. But there is this rot. And I talk about this. And when I hear Bernie Sanders say, well, we're not a great country. You know what? The United States is an amazing country. And the United States has troubles. And we've had troubles in our past. But the existence of problem doesn't subtract from the greatness of the country. Because every single thing, be it a country, a town, an entity, whatever, a group, is always going to have a problem. That is not the measure of the greatness of something. It is, what does that entity do to fix the problem? The question is, how quickly does that entity respond to a problem once recognized? The question is, how can that country, how, after doing the first and second, how does the country, how does that entity work to maintain that correction and foster unity? That is the measure of greatness. Bernie Sanders cannot define great because he doesn't know what it is. He has no experience with greatness. He has no experience, apparently, with any kind of ambition except something that is brought on the backs of taxpayers and private girls' schools that go bankrupt when his wife operates them. It's really, really hard to recognize greatness when you yourself have no experience with it. That's not me being mean. That's me being honest. Like I said, we live in a world right now where people even want to water down gospel because they're afraid of hurting people's feelings. I mean, there's scripture on that, too. Maybe Jesus can water down your greatness when you stand before the pearly gates and they're trying to figure out whether or not they're going to let you in. Anyway, I wrote about, there's an excerpt that I have over at The Federalist, and it discusses the death of grace and the media's role in it. And I specifically get into that now infamous town hall, because I could have sat on that stage and I could have responded slight for slight, and I could have been just as absolutely as cruel as possible in return, but that wouldn't have done anything. It wouldn't have moved the ball down the field. It would have been horrible witness and horrible advocacy. And so I think when people say, and I had people ask me this question a lot, you know, how did you even get through that? Weren't you nervous? By the time I got there, I wasn't. When the plane took off in Dallas, it was in the middle of a really crazy thunderstorm, and I honestly didn't even think we were going to be able to take off. And I found out that Tuesday we were going down, and that Wednesday, as we were boarding the plane, I was told that I was going to be on stage. And then when we got there, I was told that it was going to, I was going to be speaking. And I knew that they were going to pit me up against former sheriff, disgraced coward Scott Israel. And I talk about all of that. But one of the things that I did, too, is I prayed through that whole flight all the way down there. Because I identified so much with the Sons of Thunder. And I thought, I always wondered, is that just Jesus having the funniest sense of humor? Or was he, like, throwing a little bit of shade on it? Because James and John, if somebody disagreed with Jesus or somebody didn't want to help him, they're like, hey, you want us to call down fire and brimstone? We're totally cool with that. You want us to call it down? We'll rain some fiery rocks upon these people. Hey, you want to do it? Let's do it. Let's do it. Come on. And he was like, slow your roll. But like in the red letter, Jesus speak. He was like, slow your roll. We're not going to do that. And here's something else that I want people to remember. And I want you to especially remember this where it concerns the president, too. Jesus admonished them very gently for every time they wanted to go full fire and brimstone on somebody because that person they thought was not cooperating with Christ. But he never expelled them from the group. He didn't end their discipleship. He didn't turn them out and run them away. He nurtured them and he trained them up. He didn't say, I'm not going to do these things through you. You're not good enough. And what people forget is it doesn't matter how good you are or how good you are not. You are not the one who qualifies yourself. He is. And that's what people are missing with this. I get into all of that in the book, Grace Canceled. Make sure you go and purchase it today. It is on shelves, and we're going to do another giveaway coming up later on at the bottom of the hour. And then we're going to talk about the coronavirus, because now they're and really quick, and I know we got to get going. Do you all have this wonder too? Because I keep hearing, well, you know, the stock market's taking a hit because of the coronavirus, and I don't doubt it. But do you wonder if maybe also it's not reacting to the fact that the Democrats are on the cusp of nominating a communist to run for president? Just wondering.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I think this might be my favorite. Might be my favorite headline today. Oh my gosh, this comes from a British publication. It says, baboon escapes vasectomy operation. Baboon escapes vasectomy operation at a testing lab and flees with two female monkeys. One of the baboons, he was scheduled for a vasectomy, and he took two of his lady monkeys with him in a daring escape from a New South Wales hospital, and footage caught them. It is hysterical. They like ran out of there. He went, got them, and they left. Got his ladies, and they left. No vasectomy for him. Not today. Airports warn of chaos as up to 181 million Americans are rushing to get new IDs before October because state-issued driver's licenses will no longer be valid on domestic flights, apparently. It's all about that real ID stuff, which I got questions on. Two-thirds of 276 million state driver's licenses do not comply with it, and people have been worried about it. They say it could actually hurt tourism, and or maybe we could just stop the bureaucracy. You know, we make these problems for ourselves. Coronavirus fears grip South Korea as President Moon warns of, quote, very grave, end quote, outbreak, and officials have been screening a 200,000 cult members and Korean air cabin crew member tests positive. This is all crazy. AOC admits she got her goddaughter into a Bronx charter school. She always complained that public school systems hinged on zip codes and how you need to go to public schools and support public schools. And then she said that she got her daughter, her goddaughter, into a charter school. Okay. So she's inadvertently making the argument for school choice. Maybe she's coming around. Not really. It's just for her and not for you. See, they only support the choice for you. Yeah. So I'm there. There you go. Let's see. The president was reportedly furious that 14 Americans infected with coronavirus boarded a plane back to the United States from Japan without his permission. The health officials now say, well, yeah, that was a big mistake. Okay, we get it. That is a big mistake. Also, a couple of other things. The Kentucky governor made a great point. He said, I simply cannot ask a school resource officer to stop an armed man entering a school without them having the ability to achieve it and protect themselves. So in Kentucky, what they decided to do, which is tons of common sense, is actually sign into law a bill that required school police officers to carry guns. Good on them. Stick with us. A lot more in store. Another book giveaway.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
The reason we've won all these fights, the reasons that I've been successful in climate, is I start with environmental justice. You want to deal with climate, people think it's a science issue. It's a human issue with a huge racial overtone. The places in this country where people can't breathe without getting asthma, can't drink the water, are black and brown communities. I've been to Flint, Michigan. I've been to Denmark, South Carolina, where you cannot drink the water. The woman who has been leading that fight, Deanna Berry, gets a death threat every day.
What? What in the world? What in the world? My goodness. That's Tom Steyer, who, what is with the Christmas tie? I don't trust that you're a billionaire if you have one tie. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. At D Lash on the Twitters, official Dana Lash on Facebook also. And we are in New York City doing a press push for Grace Canceled, How Outrage is Destroying Lives, Ending Debate and Endangering Democracy. It is out today. And big thanks to AM 970, The Answer. We are broadcasting from them. Tom Steyer with his Christmas tie. I wonder sometimes if he's not just pretending to be a billionaire and running around and saying that he's a billionaire. But the statement that apparently climate change only affects black or brown communities, he acts like somehow white people evolved some mutation that allows them to breathe polluted air. Do you see how ridiculous this sounds? I feel like I'm watching a bad Netflix series right now. And he's like the crazy doctor who finds the plan. You know what it is? It's because white people can breathe polluted air. And so they don't care about it because they have evolved and now they have these mutations that allow them to drink dirty swamp water and breathe dirty air because it's dirty like they are. I don't know. It's just what it sounds like to me. It's silly. But okay, speaking of like the weather and nature and everything else, I think this is irresponsible. I saw this from Julian Borger, who's with The Guardian. It's a British paper. And they quoted the CDC immunization chief, Nancy Messonnier, who warned, quote, disruption to everyday life may be severe from the coronavirus in the U.S., and he quoted her as telling her children over breakfast, quote, right now, we as a family need to be preparing for significant disruption in our lives. Well, I don't know what they're talking about because most everybody in America was killed when they were trying to promote internet fairness. What was that? I can't even think of the name of it now. Yes, because so many things were going to kill us. The tax cuts were going to kill us, and then the removing of the penalty from Obamacare was supposed to kill us, and then net neutrality, stopping that, was definitely going to kill all of us. So I think most everybody in America has been wiped out by all those things, right? I mean, isn't that how it goes? I don't know. I see a lot of people comparing it to the flu, and because I hear that there's been more deaths from the flu this season than, you know, anything that you would see from the coronavirus. But I don't know. They say that it moves fast and maybe it's more. I don't know. I also saw a story. Let me pull this up. I think this one was over at the New York Times, which is so weird. Because what they were stating is that, remember when Tom Cotton was discussing the origination of the coronavirus and where did this come from and how is this, you know, could it be possible that it was, it's warfare? Is it possible that it's like bio warfare? And could that be? And he mentioned this lab that was like in Wuhan or something, and he was accused of promoting conspiracy theories. And then the New York Times, which is funny because the New York Times was saying, well, he's repeating a fringe theory of the coronavirus. And I thought, okay. But then I read a piece, and I'm pulling it up here. I was just literally reading a piece where, in fact, the New York Times was cited by Daily Mail in that they were saying, well, look, this could be the next big pandemic. And there's questions as to where it originated, et cetera. Is this something that was, because there were questions about how in the world was this, where did it come from? And is China being honest with us where it's coming from? And so I guess now he got attacked for stating things that publications were already stating. And the president has said, we don't have any Americans dying of the coronavirus. And he said the markets are going to bounce back. And everyone's been attacking him because in the press, because he is not, I guess, freaking out and waving his arms and running around with his head on fire. Doesn't it seem like that's why they're attacking him? You're supposed to be going on and scaring everyone half to death. Now, there's also the report that apparently new cases in China appear to be slowing down, but it's already infections spiked in South Korea and elsewhere. Tom Cruise is reportedly holed up in Italy because they've had so many cases, they shut everything down there. But it's so irresponsible of me if this is what happened and this this CDC official is actually saying, well, we need to, Dr. Meissonier, she said she called her children's school and asked if there was plans for teleschooling if necessary. And the CDC told people today that, look, it's not a question of if, but when the coronavirus is going to spread here. And they've confirmed 57 cases, 14 in the nation, 40 from citizens repatriated from the Diamond Princess in Japan, and 3 evacuated from China. And so the threat is low, but the CDC's director of immunization and respiratory diseases says the public needs to be prepared if it does become a pandemic. And she even suggested, apparently, that parents call their kids' schools and ask, are there plans for children to attend class over the internet or video chat if buildings need to close? To me, doesn't that seem just to be a little bit like, let's slow the roll, right? Let's see. And then she said this at a press conference. She's like, I had a conversation with my family over breakfast, and I told my children that while I don't think we're at risk right now, we need to prepare for significant disruption of our lives. That's irresponsible. That is ridiculously irresponsible. I'm sorry. So, again, this is what happens when you have a communist country that's not. And now, apparently, Iran's, what is it, their minister of health or something to that effect, he ended up getting it too. This is what happens when you have total nationalization, big government. It cannot respond to things in a quick manner or accurately because everything is centralized. Everything is centralized. So it's a lot harder for localities to respond and deal with these issues. This is frightening. Okay, a couple of other things that I wanted to get into. Sanders reveals major plans, he says. He's got some major plans that are going to be funded by new taxes, massive lawsuits, and military cuts. This is an actual thing. So he's saying, first off, we played the audio for you earlier. He was talking about a modest tax on Wall Street speculation. And he says that's going to raise $2 trillion over 10 years, and we'll make all the colleges free. We'll cancel out all the debt over the next decade, except for you people who, you know, chose responsibly. I actually have had people who have responded to me on Twitter acting as though that people were forcefully made to accept college loans. No one forced anyone to take a college loan. He also, in his proposals, would place a 0.5% tax on stock trades, 50 cents on every $100 of stock, and 0.1% fee on bond trades, and also a fee on derivative trades. So it's like that's so stupid. You're taxing someone's savings is what it is. There was one who said who responded and said that, well, so that's like you're paying $25 to the government every time you traded $5,000 worth of stock, or 5 times what you'd pay the typical online brokerage in fees. So that puts serious costs on actively traded funds. And guess what's in actively traded funds? A lot of people's retirement. This dude. Instead, we could maybe perhaps not reward people who don't make the best choices and tell everyone, remind them that they are responsible for their own debt. That's like saying those people are responsible for my car payment. This is silly. No one's responsible for your debt. You are not owed anything. You are not owed something. Golly. There's someone who made the observation that, well, you know, there are people who are really mad and they're supporting Bernie, and that means something. We should pay attention to that. You know, I don't know about the, you know, about people. Are people really doing well off in the United States if this many people are upset with the way things are going and with capitalism? I think that there are people who do not want to suffer the consequences of their decisions. They want the government to save them. And they're the people who are okay with sacrificing a little bit of security for safety. A little bit of security for contentment, which you don't get either. You don't get either of them. So I would hope that they discuss a little bit their plans tonight instead of screaming about Michael Bloomberg's NDAs again, which I'm pretty sure that's probably all Elizabeth Warren's going to do. She just may be a stalking horse for Bernie at this point. But it's just all there is. But I hope they call him to the, I hope they call Bernie to the carpet for his defense, not only of communist China, but also for a Cuban dictatorship. This is just insane that this is, we have a politician even doing this. It's insane that we have a communist leading the Democratic primary. We have more in store. You don't want to miss it. We're also going to be here coming up next hour giving away another copy of Grace Canceled. And make sure you stay on the line for that to give Steve your information so he'll get it over to me and we can get it sent out.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
I'm here to ask you for your help. Where I come from, you don't get far unless you ask. My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other guy. Give me a look, though, okay?
Wait, what is he running for? I'm confused. Is he running for... He thinks he's running for Senate, I guess.
Unless you ask. My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate.
What? No, you're running for president, Joe. You're running for president. Wrong thing. Wrong thing. I hope we didn't have this problem at the debate. Somebody's got to push Bernie back, and Bloomberg's too mean to do it. He's too snotty. He's too mean. Good heavens. So coming up in our next hour, we're going to do another giveaway of Grace Canceled, How Outrage is Destroying Lives, Ending Debate, and Endangering Democracy. And that it's out today. It is on shelves today. And I'm excited about this book. It was a very different one to write. I fought for it because I think political books are supposed to be super. I mean, it's still political. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a conservative, right? I mean, I'm not going to compromise on anything. But when you talk about graciousness, people immediately think that somehow you're talking about, oh, well, you're just not going to fight anymore. It's, you know what? If you don't understand grace or if you can't choose it, it's because you're too weak to. Grace is a difficult choice. It's one that you have to make every single day. And if you choose to just be a butthead to everybody, well, then you're weak and I'll pray for you. That's not being mean. I'm being honest. It's what it is. I realize that people can't handle honesty nowadays, but we don't do that here. So this, like I said, this was a book like I really, really fought to make happen. And it was not going to be the... I don't do red meat platitudes and all that stuff over and over. I just don't do that. I don't. If I'm bored, then I know you're going to be bored. I'll know my readers are bored. So there you go. All right. We have... Well, you know what it is. It's time for Florida Man.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
See, I feel like we could just, you know... start like a little acoustic cover band just on Florida Man headlines. All right. So first and foremost, let me pull this. I got a lot of stuff here in front of me because we got a lot of Florida. We got a lot of Florida Man. A Florida man set his hospital bed on fire to get his nurse's attention. I mean, there are ways to get a nurse's attention. This story originally came from Click Orlando. And he set his hospital bed on fire. He also has one of the craziest mustaches ever. It goes all the way down and hangs in tendrils off of his chin. New Smyrna Beach, Florida. He felt like he was being ignored, so he set his bed on fire. His name is John King. According to authorities, he set a plastic bag on fire on Saturday because he felt the Advent Health New Smyrna Beach staff were ignoring his request to bring him his clothes, and he believed that the fire would get his attention. And the... records, oh man, it's his roommate told police that he saw King light a small object on fire and he told him to put out the flame. But when he returned to his bed behind a curtain, he saw King relight it. And the roommate used the emergency button to notify staff. He told him, that blank in here lit his bed on fire. I can't breathe. The smoke is in the room. And the nurse heard the roommate yell, and everybody yelled fire and all this stuff. King tried to get to the elevator to escape. They stopped him, and they secured him to the... Why would you... I mean, usually people are secured to their bed, but maybe he wasn't. So I'm like, why in the world would you light your bed on fire if you're in it? But, you know, this guy probably isn't the brightest crayon in the box. He was originally admitted to the hospital for respiratory failure. He said he wasn't going to harm himself, but now he's in trouble. They have to replace the hospital bed. It's $4,000. Yeah, the officers confiscated his Bic lighter and they charged him with felony count of arson. Golly, why in the world, dude, would you do this? A Florida man is seeking damages for his 9-year fight with his homeowners association over a flag. Now, homeowners associations are tiny tyrants. And I've actually never lived in a place that had an HOA. But I also realize that if you don't want to deal with an HOA, then don't move to a place where they have HOAs. Don't move to one and then you won't have to deal with it. But this one, this guy has been going back and forth for like 9 years now because he wants to over a flag in Florida. And the story won't open because everything sucks. So I'm going to go to something different now. Yay! All right, buy my book on grace. No, it's just not opening for some reason, but I have more in store. Also, we have a guy who shot a dog walker in the leg so he could steal the dog. This comes from WSO-TV. The man decided he wanted this dog and shot the dog walker in the leg. He was trying to rob him and also steal his dog. It was in Daytona Beach. Police say they responded around 2:30 p.m. They got a call for help. They did catch the guy. He has been detained, but dang. Man, just go to a pound. We got a lot more in store. Stick with us.
It's the Dana Show.
Well, I have great respect for Congressman Clyburn, but, you know, I think we have a fundamental disagreement here. You know, I think if you look at how Senator Sanders is doing in general election polling, both against other Democrats and against President Trump, he's clearly very popular with the general election electorate. And I think that he is going to do what he did in Nevada and what you're going to see happening in other places. He's going to bring out young people mm-hmm. of color. He's going to bring a lot of people, working class people, back into the party who supported President Obama before but had defected to Trump in 2016.
I don't know about that. That's Bernie Sanders' guy, Jeff Weaver, one of his advisors, going to bat for him there because James Clyburn was saying, look, everybody, he's going to hurt the down ballot races, which I think he will. Democrats aren't going to be excited to come out. I mean, for crying out loud, we already saw that in Iowa, for instance, where they had super low turnout. Their turnout was also incredibly low in New Hampshire. And I don't know what in Nevada. It didn't seem like it was that people were super excited. I didn't see big, crazy numbers for turnout there either. Who knows what's going to happen with South Carolina, but good heavens. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. My book, Grace Canceled, How Outrage is Destroying Lives, Ending Debate, and Endangering Democracy, is on shelves now. It is out today. And I hope that you go and you order it. And we're going to have another giveaway at the bottom of the hour for this book as well. And I'm excited about it. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But that debate tonight, I hope that everybody kind of has knives out, so to speak, for Bernie. They really need to. Because the last time they messed it up, everybody went after Bloomberg. And here we are. Bloomberg was disastrous, but Bernie ended up with more delegates and more votes. I mean, this guy, there was a piece at New York Magazine, there have been a couple of others, talking about how unpopular he's going to be. You can sit here and say that the Bernie bros are going to get people out, but I don't know. The headline of that piece is, if Democrats aren't terrified of Bernie, they're not paying attention. Because this is, and he cites Brexit. Remember when I was telling you about Brexit? How you have the British, the Labour Party was going so far left, so quickly. They had such historic losses to Conservative Party members. And it's not conservative like the American conservative, but they are more conservative than they are. They're like more like moderate Democrats over there. But they're not the socialists like Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party. But that scared people right away, and they just did not want any of it. Didn't want any of it. People voted in areas that Labor had held for years. And what some of these progressives now are warning in these editorials is that, did you see Jeremy Corbyn? Because this is what's going to happen. Did you look at the down ballot races from Jeremy Corbyn? This is why I talked about Brexit. I mean, he took everybody down with him. He had a total utter failure. He was a total utter failure, and he took everyone down with him. And progressives are saying, if you think that this is not, that was not basically what is exactly happening with Bernie Sanders, y'all are crazy. And so here we are. Told you. But the thing is that if he ends up being the nominee, they're all going to line lockstep behind him. They're only saying this now when they think that they might have a chance, which they don't. But they're all going to lockstep right behind him. Right behind him. That's it. So there you go. There you have it. All right. So I have a couple of other stories here as well, as we're in New York broadcasting live here from New York City. Big thanks to AM970, The Answer, for that. The debates tonight, I'm going to be watching the debate. I will have a wrap-up on danalash.com, where you can also go and purchase Grace Canceled. But a couple of, I got some social justice warrior stuff for you. So first up that we have, and there was the story about with United, where United was made a big jet, like virtue signal. It was bigger than the bat signal, their virtue signal. And they really wanted everyone to know that they were doing everything they possibly could to accommodate everyone's pronouns and all of, you know, all of it. They want to make sure that everyone, and it was United Airlines too. So you could either go as like Mr., Mrs., Miss, or MX. And I don't even know how you would pronounce MX. I'm not even quite sure how that would even be pronounced, but it is what it is. So, and I had this piece up. So they, Delta, I think, or no, it was United. United was the one that did it. And they'll let you register as this. You can change your identity when you are registering. And there was one airline that started doing this over Christmas with American Airlines. And if you wanted to go and fly in a giant metal tube in the sky, then what would happen is you wanted to identify as whatever you wanted to, then they say, yes, you can do that. You can register as a U or an X if you don't want to register as an M for male or F for female. And the option was only available by phone, apparently, in the beginning. And then, apparently, they still never opened that. So, then there's United that tweeted, fly how you identify. Our new non-binary gender options are now available. Okay, well, why don't you have bigger seats, then? If you're going to do a sales shtick, why not have bigger seats and more legroom? Because no one cares. Nobody cares about this. And it doesn't know. But they said travelers have to call the airline to choose these non-binary options. And I guess it's not something that you can just do online. And I guess Delta is one of those. They said the same thing. They said that they're offering a non-binary gender option during the booking process. And apparently there's a couple of other airlines doing it still. And with American, though, American Airlines had a catch. The passengers had to carry a passport or some kind of identification that showed a gender marker other than male or female. So they all have different requirements, apparently, for it. This is, and you see, they're creating problems for themselves, and they're creating, it's just more of a hassle. I don't know how they're going to keep that consistent, especially since you can be, what is it, gender fluid, and you can just identify as a certain something on one day and not something on another day. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work out, but, or in California, because California, I believe, that's legally allowed. There is a bill in Illinois that is aiming to remove religious exemptions for vaccinations in the state, according to CBS. And it was filed last week. They wanted to remove the option for parents to opt out of vaccinating their kids based on religious grounds. It said the legislation would do away with most medical exemptions for vaccines required to attend schools in the state. It would allow minors age 14 and older to get a vaccine regardless of whether their parent or guardian consensed. It's amazing to me that you could just go get an abortion over there, but oh my goodness, vaccinations. And they said that I would imagine this would probably actually get passed. I don't know how most of the stuff that they propose over there is it would get passed. The Illinois Vaccine Awareness Coalition, which advocates against vaccines, posted a call to oppose it. I like vaccines. I'm a parent. I do what I want. I didn't want my kids to get like measles or other things, and so I got them vaccinated. There's certain things, I think it's totally fine, and a parent should want to wait on it if they want to space them out or do whatever. And I don't like government forcing anyone to do anything. There is the difference. I don't like the government. It's not the government's place, I don't believe, to force anyone to do it. But it amazes me, because I actually know someone who is against vaccinations and thinks it's insane if anyone is upset over any kind of public events or anything like that with babies and unvaccinated kids. But then one of their children also has a peanut allergy. So everyone has to accommodate that child and not have anything with nuts around them. That's a real thing. And I just have always thought that was a little bit, doesn't make sense. Don't email me about it. I'll print it out and run it over with my Segway that I got on Amazon for Mother's Day. I swear to you, I will. But I don't like governments taking over the role of doctor or parent and dictating when your child should have X, Y, or Z. That's what I don't, because I don't trust the government with any amount of power at all whatsoever. At all. But I'm against that aspect of it, but I'm not one of those who's a hardliner anti-vaccines. I'm not. But I wouldn't trust the state of Illinois with anything. I would not trust that government for anything. The debate tonight, like I said, I'm going to recap it up at danalash.com, where you can get a copy of my book, Grace Canceled, which is out. Done some press and all of that stuff on it as well. Good stuff. I'm going to be in D.C. beginning tomorrow late afternoon, and I'll be doing some stuff there as well. And then we've got other stuff coming up in store, so there will be chances for, I'm looking forward to getting out and seeing some folks as well. I got a ton of comments, and I got some emails about signed copies. If you go to premiercollectibles.com/lash, my last name, you can get their limited number, but you will be able to get a signed copy there if you don't win one later on in the show. So we have headlines coming up, and I have a favorite one involving Hot Pockets. And a new poll is out showing too many Democrats see their party barreling over the edge of a cliff. We've got that and more coming up.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
We now know as conservatives that it's going to be the squad and AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Bernie. That is what I believe, and it's what I see out here. Look how popular.
Well, here's let me
you
just,
him.
Let
you
me read
your dog
this.
After him.
In Nevada.
That's a whole other
thing. You know, I mean, you love it.
Why, how did I change my mind on Bernie? First of all, I was never all in on Bernie.
Naming your dog after
because
him.
Because I named my dog after him. It was a joke. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, man. But she did, though. She named her dog after Bernie. You don't name your dog after something that's like a joke. You love your dog. You give your dog a name that's cute, right? A name that you're going to feel comfortable calling at 7 a.m., 6 a.m., 5:45 in the morning when you take your dog outside to do their business and they won't go because they want to stop and smell everything in the grass and look at everything that moves and everything else. Anyway, I am believe I'm scheduled to join them on coming up in beginning of March, as it relates to Grace Canceled. So that should be interesting, because I get the feeling that and I like Megan, and I'm glad that she's dropping bombs of sense into the conversation. But aside from her, I get a sense that maybe the other ones aren't fans. We'll put it like that. Let's kick it into some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, yeah. So there's a few things here. First off, Julian Castro was accused of violating campaign rules in the Nevada caucus for Liz Warren, because that's who he went out and endorsed. So he apparently was campaigning like right inside of the polling area, which is actually totally ridiculously illegal. And apparently nothing, there was video of it and everything. He was giving a speech about her, telling people to vote for her apparently. And you're not supposed to do that. That's not how that works. So here's an interesting headline. Computer analysis of Edgar Allan Poe's work. Because remember, everyone always said, oh, he probably killed himself. Well, this analysis of his work actually suggests that he did not commit suicide. That it was not consistent. The language that he used, though his words were not consistent with psychological markers of depression, which I think is incredibly interesting. They said that that wasn't. There was also a theory going around that he ended up getting, he was drunk, and then I guess there were people who got him drunker and then used him to go vote, because that was a common thing. They would take people and drunkards and give them liquor and then just have them take them around to different polling places and having them vote. And so there's some speculation out there that that may be how he met his end. But they said that the patterns that were present in his work towards the end, that no, suicide was not the cause of it. Still, it's a computer that's saying this, but disgusted shoppers claim they nearly vomited after spotting Urban Outfitters selling sweets labeled vegan that contained pork and beef gelatin, because that's not vegan. Urban Outfitters listed 3 vegan-type gummies on their website, and apparently each single one of them have animal laden ingredients in the small print. Okay, well, just let's not have outrage. Just say, look, this is not accurately advertised. Maybe let people know, and we don't need to do a whole big thing. I'm so coming back to this to make fun of it, because Bon Jovi has the hot new Gun Control album, you guys. Are you guys ready for Bon Jovi's Gun Control Anthem? It's Bon Jovi with his 80s hair, and he's back to sing to you about gun control. I'm not even making this up. Is somehow Bloomberg involved? I'm not sure. I wouldn't doubt it. And last but not least, because we got a lot, there is a... this kind of runs counter to the whole the rich people are bad and horrible. Kirk Douglas left his entire $60 million fortune to charity, including donations to LA Children's Hospital. Look at that. Rich people are bad, though. Stick with us. Are you ready for Bon Jovi, the Gun Control album?
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
No help from any country. And I haven't been given help from any country. And if you see what CNN, your wonderful network, said... I guess they apologized in a way for, didn't they apologize for the fact that they said certain things that weren't true? Tell me, what was their apology yesterday? What did they say?
Mr. President, I think our record on delivering the truth is a lot better than yours sometimes, if you don't mind me saying.
Let me tell you about your record. Your record is so bad you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You have probably
I'm
the
not
worst
ashamed
record.
Of anything, and our
you probably
organization
have the worst record
ashamed,
in the history
sir.
Of broadcasting. As far as... McGuire is concerned, he's a terrific guy, but you know, on March 11th, his time ended anyway, so his time came up.
Oh my gosh! I like how he just flat out states it. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Grace canceled. Out today. And big thanks to AM970 The Answer for the studio space as well and the hospitality. Yeah, that was Jim Acosta, if you couldn't tell. Who was going back and forth with the president on that. And I actually, now someone might say, but Dana, I don't think the president was being graceful. Really? Because I actually think, considering the stuff that's been reported falsely and the things that they've had to walk back, or that one time when they put one of the former Clinton surrogate on television, and he was the source for a story that ended up being not true. And when they had him on to talk about a story that they got from a quote-unquote source, they didn't actually tell people that he was the source. So, I mean, we go on and on about it. But, no, I actually think that the president was, he said it nicely and civilly, very calmly, but he didn't raise his voice or yell at him. But, yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for that. I had I actually write about CNN in the chapter on the media in my latest book, Grace Canceled, and that now infamous town hall that was it was completely an entire setup, which I knew going into it would be. I knew that it was going to be cast as a setup, and it happened on a Wednesday. I flew down that Wednesday. I was told Tuesday that I was going. I didn't know that I would be on stage at all until I got on the plane Wednesday. And when I got there, I was told I was going to be speaking. And I describe in the book how I was also told that I was going to be on stage with the that sheriff in the area, the Broward sheriff, Scott Israel. And so I thought, I'm going to go take his temperature because I feel as though this might be a setup, even more so than I originally thought. And so I saw him with the deputies coming down the hall, and his deputies didn't really, which I found out later was because they don't like him, they didn't really walk with him. In fact, they were really nice, and I never posted the photo up because they said, please don't, because with this guy, you know, they didn't want to be targeted by him because he's incredibly vindictive, even to deputies that worked with him. And so I was talking to them. They came in, they got pictures, and I went out and I introduced myself to Scott Israel. And I extended my hand and I said, Sheriff, you know, my prayers are with your community and your officers. And, you know, we're keeping everyone in prayer. And he said, oh. And this is when I worked with the NRA, which I haven't in over 9 months now. And he said, oh, you're the NRA lady. And he's like, yeah, no hard feelings. And I thought, what a bizarre, it was his actual legitimate quote. And I thought that's weird to say something like that. And I immediately knew that this guy was going to come after me. And so they had a political rally before the town hall started. And Israel got up to give a speech, an election year, and he blamed me again from the stage. Well, that was the first time he blamed me, was that when he spoke before everybody got in and was seated. As people were coming in, they had a rally, and they played a beautiful montage of those who were lost at Parkland. And then on either side of that, they had people giving political speeches. So they had it set up to just go off. And after I spoke with Israel, I went back into the area where we were at, and I told my husband, I said, this is going to be a brawl. I'm like, so get ready. And because none of you all know this, I travel with my husband because I have had progressive dudes in the past try to really make up some stuff about me, which is weird because I always travel with my husband for that specific purpose. I had the foresight to do it from the get-go, and there were people who were trying to sell fake stories about me to huge publications, and it was because I travel with my husband, and it's pretty, I mean, it's not like, you know, we're not visible, that none of that stuff ever happened. Can you imagine if he hadn't been with me, and they try to sell these stories, and it turns into this big thing? I mean, this is how they come after you. And so he was with me, and I told him before we went out there, I said, look, no matter what happens, you can't react. You can't have a reaction. You cannot do anything. If somebody spits on me, you cannot react. If I get hit, you cannot react. And he's like, that's ridiculous. I'm like, you cannot react. And when they opened the doors for us to go into the auditorium, and I am not making this up in the slightest, the song that I was walking into was Black Eyed Peas, Let's Get It Started. It was like the pageantry of a boxing match. I'm not even kidding you. And I was one of the last people to walk up on stage. Israel was already up there. And the doors open, and I walked in, and it started immediately. Because there were a lot of people who were at this town hall that were not part of that community. And two of our very good, dear friends are parents who lost children at Parkland, and they refused to go to this. One of them was Andy Pollack. He didn't want to go because he just, when he heard what happened at the school, he just ran down there and what he was wearing. And there was a picture of him and video of him in a truck wearing a Trump shirt. And the media went after him because of that. So he already had every reason not to even, he didn't want to get near it. And so I walked in, and I was asked to go in because I represented at the time members, and they wanted a voice there. They didn't want it to be this thing where they weren't going to have someone there who could bring that aspect. And so I walked in to the auditorium, and there were people who immediately were yelling things I can't repeat on air. They had said previously that, and it was because people did yell, burn her. And there were people in the media who denied that happening until I posted the video of it happening onto my Twitter timeline, and it's still available. And it's on Twitchy too. And there's several clips. So I'll take my apology now. And it started immediately. And there were people screaming and yelling, and it got rowdier the further into the arena that I went. And I looked at my husband again, and I kind of mouthed, "Can't react." And he just, you know, he just couldn't believe it. And I met Jaylen Martin before I went up on stage, because everyone was, I felt so calm, and I did not feel, I had nothing to feel shame over. I looked everyone in the eye. I spent the entire flight down there in prayer. I'm not even, it was like the longest prayer of my life, because I am, I identified with the Sons of Thunder in the Bible, very much so. And I did, again, grace is a choice. And I spent it in prayer just to get into the right mindset. And I walked in, felt very calm. I was not nervous, and walked on to the stage. And as I was getting ready to, as I got closer to the stage, I saw a young man rush up, and I thought, I had braced myself for the idea that I was going to get spit on or hit or something. And I didn't know what was happening, but I, you know, this young man ran up and he said, Mrs. Lash. He's like, they want to ban everything. You've got to say something. And that wasn't what I was expecting. And I turned and looked at him, and it was Jaylen Martin. And he was a student. He's since graduated, and he had an Air Force T-shirt on. And I responded, I was trying to process this. And I said, someone in your family in the Air Force. And he goes, my older brother, ma'am. And I shook his hand and I said, thank him for us. I said, God bless him. And I got up on the stage. That was the last smile that I saw for the whole night. And I got up on the stage, and this was previously Jake Tapper had told us in the back that he had already lost control of the whole thing. And I had messaged, and we fought privately behind the scenes after this town hall. And then he unfollowed me and all this stuff because I said this was ridiculous. And I called him a company man. And then he refollowed and we started talking again. And whenever I would message him, or sometimes vice versa, you know, we always responded. But I messaged him about this book. And interestingly enough, I never heard back from him. The first time he didn't write back. So I was up there on the stage and, you know, it went as I thought it would. And at the end, after it finished, I had a three-person security detail, and one of the three actually had to break off and go and grab this woman who had launched herself over the stage, and she was out for blood, like she was going to get me. And as I was walking down the steps, the stairs were, you would roll them up to the stage. They were just rollaway stairs, and you'd push the little lever down, the wheels would lock. And people were trying to push that, drag that off. And as I was walking down the stairs, one woman grabbed my arm. And the next thing I knew, the security, the other two guys, they were one on each side of me. They slipped in and got on each side of me, and they sort of linked their arms in the back. And for, you know, a couple seconds, my feet were not touching the ground. And they got me off the steps and moved me away. And then I walked, not ran. I was not going to walk fast, and I kept my head up, and I looked at I was like, I'm going to look at everybody in the eye, not as like an intimidation thing, but I have not done anything. The man who should be ashamed is the one who was trying to blame me. You know, this mother who didn't even know that this school was here until this awful thing happened. And our lives were pretty much turned upside down after that happened for a good while. And I, you know, we even had to go to great lengths to protect our kids, because the media, there were reporters who were trying to find the names of our kids in their schools. And the Daily Mail, and I had to stop myself because I almost said something that I would not be able to take back about them, and I'd probably get fined over. The Daily Mail, which postures as a conservative publication, but it is not. It's a big newspaper. It's an international paper. They thought they named our kids, but thankfully they got it wrong. And I didn't say anything about it for the longest time because I wanted them to think everybody to think those were their names. But they were trying to find out where they went to school and all this stuff. And people were trying to dig up stuff about my kids because they wanted to use them as pawns in all of this. And I was so grateful to their school and their teachers and their friends who formed this hedge of support and protection around them. And they had such a good group of people who were not going to say nothing to nobody. And I mean, and those people's names are just, they're on my heart forever. But this gets into one of the big problems with a lack of grace. The media doesn't have it. And so I also say this in the book, and I'm going to be very slow when I say this. I watched, as I said on that stage, and they had a woman stand up who was mourning her child, and she was reading from a letter that she had written. She couldn't even look up. She was so heavy with grief. I don't even know if she knew where she was. She was just so consumed with grief, understandably. And I watched as a cameraman with a network ran up and got as close as they could right in front of her so that they could capture that grief on her face before they broke and went to commercial. And I got on the plane after all this and flew then to D.C. I got about 3.5 hours of sleep. Had to be downstairs early in the morning because I was speaking before the vice president. And you have to go through Secret Service. And I was standing there on stage, and I had my remarks in front of me. And I looked up, and I saw that network on the camera in the back where the rest of the press was. And that's when I said what I said about the media and ratings and mass casualty incidents. And I'm going to read you. Let me pull this up. I wasn't going to do this, but now I'm going to do it. I'm going to read you a passage out of this. And like I said, I'm going to say it real slow. And when I was speaking at CPAC, this is what happened afterwards. And remember, I said, if it leads, it bleeds. Those who judge my words hadn't seen what I had seen in those past 16 hours, I write in Chapter 7, The Media's Role. They didn't see Jeff Zucker glad-handing and posing for photos backstage while grieving parents clutching their notes waited quietly in the arena for the program to begin. They didn't sit through a town hall designed not to reach solutions to a horrific problem, but to wring the last bit of emotion from a broken community. Those who judged, and judged my words, and weren't at that Parkland town hall, you judged wrong. The rage mob descended, demanding retractions and apologies, feigning outrage when they were culpable. I refused to oblige. I never have and never will. Let me be clear about my remarks at CPAC that morning. I apologize for nothing. I will not apologize to the portion of the media at which my remarks were aimed, for they recklessly suggested that I and innocent gun owners were responsible for the Parkland massacre. And the rage mob, instead of directing its anger towards a television network that exploited anguish for ratings and further divided the country, attacked me for accurately and politely pointing it out. I gave you grace in the manner in which I spoke, and you have yet to extend it to any one of your targets. I have nothing to apologize for those remarks, and you judged wrong. So now you probably want to go get the book, danalash.com. You can get it there. You can get signed copies at premiercollectibles.com/lash. Grace Canceled, How Outrage is Destroying Lives, Ending Debate, and Endangering Democracy. I have a chapter in there that's called A Time for Anger. Sometimes anger is appropriate. Controlled, limited amounts. And as a genuine outrage, not as a to weaponize it and keep it going. We're going to do a quick giveaway. 10th caller, 844-344-DANA. Get a signed copy of Grace Canceled. That's 844-344-DANA to receive your signed copy, a free signed copy of Grace Canceled. And 10th caller for that.
It's the Dana Show.
All right, so we do have a winner. We have, I believe it's Paul from Virginia Beach, is what Steve has conveyed. And he's going to be sending me the mailing address. Go purchase Grace Canceled out everywhere today. God bless.